Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. Religious leaders have come to an agreement that the Islamic State, known as ISIL or ISIS, must be stopped. This is according to the religious news services. Their struggle is how best to stop it. Quoting here from Ibrahim Hooper of the Council of American Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim advocacy group. Quote, as mainstream religious leaders of different faiths gather, it strengthens the voice of moderation. So what does this mean? Does this mean that there's more moderate Muslims out there that are not like the ones we're seeing on television that are doing these grisly murders and killing innocent Christians? I mean, that's the issue. What does this actually mean? And to help us to help sort this out is somebody who is an expert on this. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern over at the Growing Place here in Chico. We'll give her number out later if you're looking for services in that area. She's wonderful at it. Gidi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Gidi was a Muslim until the age of 28 when she converted to Christianity. And I guess, first of all, I would want to ask you what's being said here. Also, U.S. Christian leaders have spoken out, say they hope to dissuade youth from joining the Islamic State ranks by developing, quote, an alternative worldview that counters the group's religious claims. In other words, it looks like there's sort of a PR battle going on here.
Yes.
Where people are trying to say, this is bad news getting involved with these people, because what it looks like, to some anyway, that they're a bunch of thugs and, you know, get gang members to be a part of this. That's almost what it seems like is happening here a little bit.
You're absolutely right. They are a bunch of thugs. And something you said earlier in your news report was that they do not represent the mainstream Muslims, and that is so true. Mm-hmm. The mainstreamer are very moderate. Most of my relatives are practicing Muslims. None of them support the terrorism. Mm-hmm. I don't know any Muslims who do, actually.
But we've said this before on the show, it's no different in some respects than somebody who is, for instance, a pro-life person who's
exactly.
opposed to abortion, who goes into an abortion clinic and takes the life of an abortionist.
Exactly, I mean, that's right.
But they say, well, I'm doing it in God's name. I'm doing it in Christ's name. And, of course, I think we would say that that's not doing something, and that's not how we're supposed to, as Christians, act. And
exactly.
I think that's
it.
So Christians have been guilty of the same types of things in the past, even in the Dark Ages. The
yes,
church at the very
yes.
beginning killed hundreds of thousands of people because they didn't practice the religion that they wanted. So it's not like Christians are perfect, but we're much better now than we were 500
years ago. I hope
so.
You might, if you talk to an Irish citizen, you might get a different opinion.
Yeah. shed some more light on what we're supposed to do as Christians. I get mixed reviews. We're supposed to pray. We understand that. We're going to talk about that with
right.
Gidi Hansen. She is a former Muslim and now converted Christian, and she's a marriage and family therapist, registered intern at the Growing Place. But in for the kingdom of God, we're supposed to pray for them, for our enemies. But in the kingdom of man, which God does recognize, there are those who say that we are still free to try to protect ourselves and defend ourselves, and if necessary, to go to war. Is that how you read Scripture?
Oh, you know what? I love your question, because for me, the best defense is prayer. Some people see prayer as this airy-fairy thing, like, you know,
uh-huh.
idle people who have nothing better to do sit around and stare at their navel and pray to God.
It's the best defense, but is it the only defense?
It's not the only one, but it's the one I'm prepared to talk about.
Okay, we'll go there then, because we'll leave the violence and the
that's
the
not
defense.
My realm. I mean, okay. I'm no expert in that stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've had different people who've come on, different pastors who've come on, who've said that indeed there's a kingdom of heaven where we pray, for our enemies and also the kingdom of man, which God does recognize to defend, for a nation to defend itself, and that means killing. So,
but you know, for me, the kingdom of God was incarnate on earth through Jesus Christ and through his church.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still here to promote the kingdom.
Yes, okay.
And one of the best ways to promote, spread, uphold, and support the kingdom is to pray. And I wanted to talk about seven prayer points that faithful Christians can employ to pray for the Muslims. First of all, we need to remember that God loves all people, not just us, not just our nationality, not just people who look and talk and dress like us, mm-hmm. but all people. If we could be transported back to first century Palestine, we might be shocked. It's Middle Eastern. Mm-hmm. Men wear robes. Women wear robes. They have their heads covered. Guess what? The Muslims who have not become westernized still dress like that.
We've got to wonder, too, what Jesus would have looked like himself. Would he have been this image that we have of even, you know, the Mel Gibson movie as a white man, and it may not have been quite like that.
Not at all. He would look like a Semitic person because he incarnated as a Semitic person.
Mm-hmm.
So he would look like a Middle Eastern Jew or like one of the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And so we need to understand Jesus loves the Muslims. He came to save them. He shed his blood for them. This is a profound truth that needs to sink down deep into the heart of a Christian person.
That's one of the prayer points. There's six more to go. We're speaking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She's a marriage and family therapist registered intern under the supervision of a licensed therapist. And if you want to give her a call for issues involving really anything in your family life, she's a manly and she's an expert in marriage and family therapy. You can give her a call. Her cell number is 514-0108, 514-0108. We'll continue our discussion with Gidi after this break.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Gidi Hansen is my guest. She was a Muslim until the age of 28. She knows all about the religion. She knows what the Quran says, but she converted to Christianity at the age of 28. And she is now a marriage and family therapist for the registered intern under the supervision of a licensed therapist at The Growing Place over on East Avenue. And again, she knows about the Muslim faith. And there are seven points, prayer points, that we should have for Muslim, to pray for Muslims. And the first one, just to remind us, is that God so loved the world that he loves all of us. That's the first one we need to remember. What's the second?
The second one is, now we need to ask for God's love to be incarnated into our own hearts, individually, intimately, and personally, that his love for all people would live in us, and that would include the Muslims, so that our prayers are being motivated from a place of love, not a place of fear, not a place of anger, not a place of unforgiveness. Those were not things that Jesus had in his heart when he came into the world to die for us. And he had plenty of good reasons to be angry at humankind, but that was not his attitude. So we need to have the mind of Christ and the attitude of Christ as we go into prayer.
Were some of the things that were happening, that are happening now, happening back in Jesus' time?
I'm sure they were. Paul was a terrorist. Mm-hmm. Paul the Apostle was a terrorist. He was killing Christians and rounding them up. He was present when Stephen was taken illegally outside of town in the book of Acts, the deacon Stephen, and he was stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And Jews were not allowed under Roman law to execute anybody. That's why they connived to have Jesus crucified.
Okay.
So, oh yeah, terrorism, I'm sure, is as old as sin itself.
All right, the third one.
Third point, we know that God is love. It says so in 1 John 4:8. And Muslims need to experience God's love. In Islam, there are 99 names for God that describe his attributes, but not one of those names is love. For Muslims, God is somebody distant, far. He he doesn't hear our prayers. He doesn't really, isn't concerned with us. Or if he is, it's not where his heart and his passion is.
Is their view that, is the Muslims' view that God is has a harder edge?
Very much so. It's really the view of God after the fall. I'm alienated. I'm far from God. God is far from me because they don't understand the incarnation. They don't understand that God has entered human history and wants to enter human lives and live in us.
Muslims loving lives with their family members. Mm-hmm. Is it the same as ours as Christians? Do they love their children and families the same way we love ours?
That, you know, the Muslims I know do, and just like Christians, there's some who do it better than others.
Okay.
Because God is good, and uh-huh. God sheds his grace on everybody. That's the other thing we need to remember. Just because someone isn't a Christian doesn't mean that God isn't working with them.
But do the Muslims believe God is good?
Yes.
They do.
But they have a fatalistic view of God. They believe that God, everything that happens is God's will. Uh-huh. So therefore...
Well, we believe that too.
I don't. I don't believe that. God is not in favor of murder, abortion, rape,
yes,
whatever. But they're very fatalistic.
Uh-huh.
Everything that happens is God's will. I have nothing to say about it. And so they don't realize the loving heart of God. So as we ask God to fill our hearts with love, we need to pray. This is the third prayer point. For Muslims to know God's love, and they will know it best if we demonstrate it to them.
The fourth one.
We need to ask God to remove the spirit of fear and terror that's in our own hearts. This is a very natural human reaction. When we read the news, when we see the pictures, which, by the way, I don't look at, I cannot.
Do not look at those.
I know it would give me nightmares.
And I can't even look at the pictures of the person kneeling down.
No.
Before it happens.
It's awful.
It's awful. It's so awful. And I can't even go there. But go ahead.
I can't either. But we need to pray for God to take the spirit of fear and terror out of our hearts. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
But that's easy to say, you know, and I could hear, for instance, an atheist who's listening right now, or even Christians who say, yes, but when you imagine having your head cut off and imagining that and saying, how could I not be fearful of that, God? You're asking too much of me. You got to at least expect me that I'm going to be fearful and frightened of something like this. You have to be understanding of that. Surely you are.
I have two answers to that. Number one, many martyrs, Christian martyrs, have gone to their deaths without fear, and they've borne testimony to it. Mm-hmm. And why? Because their lives were saturated in prayer. Number two, when I'm sitting at my breakfast table with my morning coffee and offering prayers, nobody's threatening to cut off my head. I don't have to be filled with fear. When I read the headlines, I can ask God's love to supplant that fear.
All right.
But it's a lifestyle, Jerry. It's, you know, I don't know how any of us are going to die, but we can pray right now for God to prepare us for a holy death.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, he knows what it is. And the saints for many millennia have prayed for a holy life and a holy death. And we can pray that too. We don't have to be living under the oppression of fear. It's a choice we're making.
Number five.
Okay. Number five, we need to pray with the faith of a mustard seed. It sounds like we're going to break.
It does. Pray with a mustard seed. I don't even know where that's going to go because I'm not sure what a mustard seed even is, but we'll find out. We're speaking to Gidi Hansen. She was a Muslim, and she's now a Christian for most of her life now, and she's explaining how we're supposed to pray for our enemies. In this case, some Muslims who become terrorists. We'll continue our discussion with her after the break.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
I want to make sure I get this in. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern under the supervision of a licensed therapist. And she's there to help if you have any kind of issues in your lives involving your family, your marriage, or even personal issues that you need some help with. She's a Christian. And I can tell you that my family has gone to her services and spoken with her and has been very helpful. And I would recommend that if you ever need some help in this area, to give her a call. Gidi Hansen, 514-0108. 514-0108. She was with A Growing Place. Gidi Hansen is also a former Muslim who, at the age of 28, turned into a Christian. And she's speaking about how we should pray for Muslims. And we've had, this is briefly run down the first four and then get to the fifth.
Yes. The fifth one is praying with the faith of a mustard seed. And that's from Jesus's parable. One place it's found is Matthew 17, verse 20. And he told the apostles, if you had prayer the size of a mustard seed, and if you've ever bought a jar of pickles, and those little round balls, those tiny little balls, are mustard seeds that is used to flavor the pickle. When it's not saturated with water or vinegar, it's even smaller. So he's saying if you have faith that's just tiny, it can grow into something really, really big. It's like being pregnant. Who's more pregnant, the woman who has just conceived or the woman about to give birth? They're both just as pregnant, and that's another way of looking at it. It doesn't matter what size your faith is. If you have faith, you can use it.
Okay.
Faith. And I just wanted to say that this is the first time in 1,400 years that God is massively moving on the Muslim people and converting thousands and hundreds of thousands throughout the world.
We don't hear that, but there's a lot of them that are changing. And that's causing more of the violence, isn't it?
I think it's Satan's reaction to the kingdom of God invading Islam. Okay, number six. We need to remember that Muslims are monotheists. They believe in one God. They simply need a fuller understanding of God the Holy Trinity, and of his son, Jesus Christ.
Although they believe that Jesus existed, don't they?
Yes, they believe that Jesus is a prophet. He was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. They believe he's a holy man, that he never sinned. However, they believe it was Judas Iscariot who was crucified and not Jesus, and that everybody had a mass hallucination and thought it was Jesus. And they believe that Jesus was bodily assumed into heaven, like Elijah was, without ever dying. Now think about it. If Jesus isn't God and he never died, then he's not the Savior and we're all in our sins.
They're very close to Mary. I've heard where Muslims have an appreciation for Mary.
Yes, they
that?
Do. Well, I personally, I don't know why for other Muslims, but personally, Mary has had a ministry to Muslims in visions and, you know, in dreams, and so is Jesus. And for instance, my cousin, when she was 10 years old and having a family crisis, and she was living in Arabia at the time, even though she's Iranian, she grew up in the United Arab Emirates. She had a dream when she was 10 years old where she saw Jesus, and she said to Jesus in the dream, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus, the son of Mary." And very often he introduces himself to Muslims in dreams and visions as the son of Mary.
And the final prayer point for Muslims.
The final prayer point is, once you've been praying, be ready for God to use you to answer your own prayers. Any experienced, seasoned prayer person knows that God often uses us to answer our own prayers. We have many worthy Muslim people living in our community. And we have a chance to make a difference. And we need to be respectful and loving towards them and to let Christ shine through us. So those are our seven prayer points.
Sure, run through them real quickly while we have a few minutes.
Number one, remember God loves all people. Number two, ask God to fill your heart with his love for all people, including Muslims. Number three, remember that God is love and that most Muslims don't know that. They don't see God as loving. They see him as forgiving, generous, kind, judgmental, you know, annihilating, but they don't know he's love. Number four, ask God to remove the spirit of fear and terror from our hearts. Number five, pray with the faith of a mustard seed. Doesn't matter how much faith you have, it's enough to make a difference. Number six, remember that Muslims are monotheists. They're not that far from the kingdom, even now. You don't have to convince them God exists. They just have to know God more fully. And number seven, be ready to have God use you to answer your own prayers. Be loving, kind, and respectful towards Muslims when you meet them.
And you know, Gidi, when we pray, sometimes we'll pray for something that's not for God's will. I mean, we might honestly, my son might say, I'd like to have a new video game system. You know, and maybe God says through those parents, no, that's not going to happen.
Right.
The answer is no.
Right.
So the prayer is not always answered the way you want because it wasn't God's will or it wasn't the will of the parents to do that. Likewise, we sometimes will pray for a job. We'll pray for something good to happen. We'll pray for our loved one to be healed, and God's will is not. But in this prayer, when we're praying for Muslims, how confident are we that we're praying for God's will?
The Bible says it's always God's will to save sinners.
Mm-hmm.
St. Peter says it. St. Paul says it. It's always God's will. If it doesn't happen, it's not because God wasn't willing. It's because the individual wasn't willing.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
So somehow God has to enter into those people and make a change in their lives.
Exactly. And the good news is he's doing it even without our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how we could turn this world upside down. Mm-hmm. We could turn the world of Islam upside down if we as a church would just unite in prayer. I mean, it's my opinion the Soviet Union was brought down by prayer. The mm-hmm. Iron Curtain was brought down by prayer.
Mainly from the Eastern Bloc countries, I
exactly.
think. More than the United States. I don't know if the United States was doing a whole lot of praying now.
I was.
You were, but I mean, I think you're right. I think there was, but I sense the people who were really living in under that type of
yes.
life was probably saying, we want, they were probably praying more than we were.
Look how the Berlin Wall came down. I mean, without any bloodshed, without going to war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it says mm-hmm. in 2 Corinthians. We have these tremendous weapons as Christians. And what are our weapons? Love, faith, joy, hope. These are ours because God lives in us, and we just need to use them.
And people who supported President Reagan would say an economic system that destroyed the Soviet Union's economic system. That
well,
made a difference,
I'm
too.
Sure that was part of it, but without the prayer, believe me, brother, it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened. Thank you, Gidi Hansen. Thank you for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
Again, she is a marriage and family therapist intern under the supervision of a licensed therapist with the family, The Growing Place. Her number, 514-0108. So long, everybody.